The first lesson we talked about my favorite cake, at least from Duncan Hines, a strawberry supreme cake, just like you see there, maybe not with a strawberry on it. I probably have that on the side. So we said, yum, that's good. That makes me happy. That's the cake that I like. We talked about what a cake was. We talked about all the different types of cakes, at least 20 of them, how there's a lot more. Even the 100 list, there's still more past that. And we talked about how the world, just like there's choices, people have their favorite cakes and desserts. People have their favorite religions. And that's just the world. That's the humanistic quality of people. They go and they worship in ways that please them. If we're doing our job as Christians, New Testament Christians, we are not going to Waynesville because it's good for us. It's hopefully good for our edification. It's good for our exhortation to God. It's good for our learning. And we do like each other. I mean, that's part of the role too. I talked about all the ingredients that you need to have the cake that I want. Those are them, at least for that particular cake. Now we're going to transition into some things I want us to kind of think about very seriously. You know, when you go to the grocery store, and these days, when I was a kid, the biggest store there was little Kroger's in North Dayton on Dixie Drive. And when I go by that building now, I think it's a Goodwill, some donation center or something like that. And I look at that building, it's like, man, my garage is about that big. Not that I've got a big garage, but it just feels like it's that small. And I remember before it closed, I went in there one time, I was like, how can people shop there? Or maybe here in Waynesville, you go over to what used to be Ellis's, you go over to the hometown grocery store over there, and you're used to going to a Meijer or one of these super centers or Kroger's that's down in Lebanon, and you go into that place, you're like, how are people working there? It's so small. But sometimes when I'm waiting in line, I look at the shelves, and I'm like, you know, there's millions of dollars of food just sitting there for people to buy. And sometimes I'm stunned that it sits out there. In this picture here, we're talking about baking cakes and the different styles of cakes. Mom talked about how she always liked a white cake that her grandma made. Well, there's a white cake there. Edith likes to make chocolate cakes. There's a chocolate cake there. I couldn't find one with a strawberry cake, and it really disappointed me. The artist in me almost turned into the artist, and I almost colorized one of these just so I had my strawberry cake, but it was just too much work. But when the grocery store, when these cakes are sitting on the shelves, they are almost ready to eat. They're lacking some ingredients. They need to be processed. They need to actually have some action taken on them. Not too different from the packages sometimes that we are individually on the pews of the rows that we sit in at church, or probably more importantly, this idea is when we're at home. Are we packages that have what God wants with the ingredients that God needs to be activated, but we're sitting just like those boxes on the shelves, just waiting for something, waiting for something? And that's what I want to kind of address this next lesson. So as I've got on the screen, having the right ingredients or the right instructions doesn't make a cake any more than it secures salvation for anyone. As long as that cake mix is inside that box behind me, it's going to stay a box of cake mix, not a cake. It's hard to show heaven, but a lot of people like to think about heaven when they see the clouds like that. And so when we're working for salvation, it's not going to happen for us by idleness. 1 Timothy 4:13 through 15 says, Till I come, give attention to what? Reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. And we have to understand that Paul was writing to Timothy. Timothy had some special gifts that some of us are not going to have, or none of us are going to have, at least as far as the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. But the words of Paul apply to us. We can give attention to reading. We can give exhortation to doctrine. We can neglect the gifts that are in each one of us. Every one of us has the ability to do something for God. God told us that. We need to understand that. But if we neglect it, that means we're leaving the package shut up on the shelf. And in these cases here, as I mentioned, Timothy had some special things. But this idea on meditating on these things and giving ourselves entirely to them, and what is them? Well, that's back to the reading and exhortation and doctrine. And think about this with regards to a cake, that your progress may be evident to all. When you were a kid, did you ever go by the stove or the counter or the kitchen and mom was working on something you're really looking forward to? Let's say it's a strawberry cake. and you kept looking up there, and the eggs were still in the carton, the box was still closed, and you're like, I'm looking forward to that cake. It's not happening. What's going on? And you keep looking, and you come back a little bit later, and it's still there. It's like, oh, I'm really wanting that cake. When's it going to be done? And then the next time you go in, you see the smeared edges of the mixing bowl. You see the oven's on. You hear the clicking of it warming up, and you're like, ooh, I smell that. There's progress going on. I'm looking forward to that. Or maybe you come home from school, and you walk in, and Mom said when she went to her grandma's house, whenever she got there, underneath the little cloth that she had, there would be that white cake there, and she was always excited by it, and she had even her grandma look forward to the excitement that she had. If I come home from school, or I come home from a birthday and something, and my cake's sitting there all frosted up, I'm like, oh, Mom, thanks. This is so good. I'm happy for that. Her progress, in my case, my mom's progress for fixing that cake was evident to me. Whether it was done or not was very clear. And so it's true is with regards to our Christian role. 2 Peter 1, 5-9. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, and it goes on through this list to hear of the things that are ingredients to help us make sure that our recipe as Christians is as livid as it can be, that we can be good. For if these things are in you, are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, and that's all those things, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all his old sins. This idea of progress. 2 Peter 1:10-11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, making that progress. Getting out of the box, making sure that the ingredient process and the cooking process is started because you want to make forward progress. 1 John 2:5, but whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So how do I make sure that my recipe is coming to the fruition of what God needs of me? Well, I follow this. We've talked about 1 John a lot. I got 3 verses here from that. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Again, this idea of perfection or completeness is really what I was wanting to focus in on as the word is interchanged in much of our English Bibles. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us, that in this we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, this idea of what's my perfect cake? How can I have that perfect cake? Well, there's a way to get to there. Every one of us can make my perfect cake if we follow the directions as carefully as we can. So as Christians, how can I be perfect like Jesus? And it says that we can do that because we basically have to follow the pattern that he's established for us. He has been perfected among us that we may have boldness to enter the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Galatians 5:16-18. I say then, idea of progress, making the recipe. Walk in the Spirit. It didn't say sit in the Spirit. Don't stay packaged up in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This passage manages to find itself into my lessons all the time. It's one that's important to me because it's something I have to work at. I had some slides that I was going to put in here, and I was already getting along with the content, as you saw before. But I was doing an exam of shelf life. A package of cake mix can sit on the shelves no more than 3 to 6 months. And that doesn't include the time it took to get to the shelves, and then however it's going to be in your house. And I was going to use that as an analogy here about this idea of the flesh and the spirit and how they war against each other. Even a product that's in a dry form inside of a waterproof plastic wrap still will eventually decay and start a process of degradation. And so true is the spirit that we have through Christ. 5:19-21 of Galatians. Now, works of the flesh are, and we've gone through these many times before, what are they, the works of the flesh? The works that aren't the cake being made in the way it should be. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, all these things that you see up here. And at the bottom I said, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these people have the box, they have the ingredients, but they're not making it right. They're taking, like we talked about in the first lesson, and they're putting in those yucky things to me, avocados and sweet potatoes and olives and all that stuff. It just sounds horrible to me. They're making a product that has nothing to do with what I was looking forward to. God has a product that He's looking to from every one of us. And if we have any of these ingredients in our lives, we are polluted. And you know when you get something that doesn't go well when you're making it, where does it usually go? In the trash, typically, unless you got a dog. Galatians 5:22-26. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? What is the good recipe that we can have incorporated in our lives? We've talked about this many times too. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is there a law against those things? Nope, put them in. They're perfectly fine for this recipe for us to be Christian and serving God. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, here's your exciting part. And this is a YouTube conversion, so hopefully it'll show up on here. Again, take these visual images, process them as cooking a cake, and then have your mind filter out the spiritual application. As Christians, I have a box. I have the mixture ready to go in the bowl there. This woman does. I have the eggs ready to go. I have a pitcher of oil. I have a pitcher of water. I have frosting, and I have the beater and a mixing bowl. I have everything it takes to make a cake. Well, how do you spin that around as a Christian and with looking what God wants out of us? I have the ability to teach. I have the ability to talk to people. I have the ability to turn off bad content when I'm exposed to it. I have the ability to get out of a conversation when things are not going well. I have the ability to take advantage of situations and talk to people. But if I don't do them, then they sit on the stovetop just like this picture and nothing ever happens. If that was frozen in time for 20 years, eventually everything on there is going to go bad and it will never be a cake. But as we'll see, if you follow this process, and we'll go through it, and it only takes a few minutes for this woman to do this, the process of making a cake begins. So, first of all, she dumps the material in the bowl. Okay, you take the cake mix, it's inside the mixing bowl. We have got a cake, right? Does anybody here think that's a cake? No. All the ingredients are still separated. Nothing's mixed up. It hasn't been processed. It's still a pile of powder inside of a bowl. Think about that as a Christian. You get a little bit of progress. You're where you should be, but there's all these other things that you could be taking advantage of for God, and you don't do them. Are you pleasing to Him? The answer is probably no. All right, so now we're dumping our eggs in there. Eggs are inside the mixing bowl. We got two products in there. We got a mixing bowl, we got the mix, and we got the eggs. Cake? No, still not a cake. Okay, we mix it up. Okay, it's a good mixture. We got that blended together. Okay, we pour in our oil. So is that a cake? It's still not a cake. We mix it up a little bit more. Now we pour our water in. Is it a cake? No. Mix it up a little bit more. All right, now that looks like cake batter, right? Does that make a cake? If I handed that to you, would you be saying, like, hey, that's what I've been looking forward to? Now, we have to admit, as kids, there's probably a lot of us that would lick what was left over. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Now, scientists today will probably tell you that that was really bad for your digestive system. Just like me, when I've got cookie dough at home and I keep taking it out of the refrigerator and put it in my mouth. I hardly ever cook it, and I was like, what are you doing? This is still not a cake. Everything's mixed together. Everything's blended the way the ingredients said. They're following the directions, but they're still not parts that are completely done. So it's still not a cake. You pour it into the cooking pan here, still not a cake. 1 Peter 1:6-8 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Through now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Okay, I've got a lot of passages on there, but here, follow the underlined words as always. So we're greatly rejoicing. Our cake is finally going in the oven, right? Yeah, it's not a cake yet, but we know it. This is the last stage before we get to take it out and we get to frost it. This idea about the trials and the genuineness of our faith being tested by fire, heat is what makes that cake or that batter become a cake, right? We understand that. That makes sense. We've had good conversations, and I remember a lot of them, going back to the other building to now, we've talked about this idea of God testing us and testing God testing people throughout the Bible. And really, this is what it kind of boils down to, not to use a term there, but the idea is that all these ingredients, we can get as close as we can, but there's a level of congealing that has to happen. And that only happens when God gets involved. We have all the ingredients. We have all the directions. But as the Bible tells us, God gives the increase. God adds it to the church. So we wait for that Holy Spirit, like we talked about in class today, for that final step. And I think this idea of being tested by fire, being cooked, basically, is what we kind of deal with. I mean, it shows what our true character is. 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 7 through 9, I have fought the fight. This is Paul talking. Fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I couldn't find a good picture of a final finished cake. That's what I was looking for. But the one on the front of the box looks pretty good to me. So that shows, after everything that we go through, all this list of ingredients, all the recipes, all the cooking, finally we get to something that is beautiful and something that is very sought after and something that is precious to individuals. I mean, we're talking a cake, but if you get one for me, and I encourage all of you to get me a strawberry cake, if you do that, I will consider every one of those precious. But I know, like I was telling Edith today, my suit pants were already tight today, so that's probably not a good idea. But this idea here, Paul says, I've gone through everything. I followed the recipe as a child. The recipe changed. I followed it as a Christian all the way through. And man, was I ever stuck into the oven. But I didn't get burned. I came out, and I am ready for that perfect finish. And here's what I look like. I am just what God wants. I am ready to be taken by God. That is what we want as Christians too. Continuing on, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5, preach the word. Again, what do you do to make sure that our election is sure? This is our instruction list for that final completion. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and we've read this passage many times. The idea of this cake being finally ready, it doesn't matter what the time of day is, you can take advantage of it. But there is going to come a time where even the cake, as perfect as I want it to be, is going to go bad. It's going to dry out. Sometimes they can mold. Depending on what's in them, they can even just start deteriorating. That's not what we want. Skip down to the bottom. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Just because Paul was talking to an evangelist, which was Timothy here, don't dismiss this as something that doesn't apply to us. We are evangelists in our lives. We are evangelists when we talk to people, when they see us. Whatever we do, we are setting an example of what Christ is. And there's that recipe book down there. So how do I have that perfect cake? I've got to have a really good recipe book, and I've got to follow it all the way through, or it's not done. How can I be a good Christian? I didn't bring my Bible up here because I had the passages on here, but in my pew or in my chair is the recipe book that I follow as a Christian. Every one of us should be following that for the perfect guidance, and that's how we'll have it. For some reason, this song popped into my head. I don't know if we have this in our books, but this idea of a recipe book. You know, sometimes when you're going through a recipe book and something doesn't seem like it's going the way that you want it to, you get in there and you start turning real fast. What did I do? What did I do? What did I miss? My oven's at 500. Is it supposed to be cooked at 500? I don't know if that's a good thing. So you start trying to figure out what you need to do. Or what typically happens when you're making a dessert, people are coming to your house, so you're freaking out trying to get all this done. A song that we sing many times, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing the years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory or shall we reap tears? You talk about a song that applies to the subject today. I think it's so good. We can turn those pages to get the right recipe and make sure that we're right on. And the hours are going by. We're getting closer to when we need to have that done. So how are we taking advantage of that recipe book? As a Christian, how are we turning those pages? Are we turning those pages? And still, those hours are drifting away. I'm getting old enough now where I keep waking up every Monday morning getting ready to go to work. I'm like, seriously? Another week? How does it keep happening? They do. They just go faster. And everybody that you talk to that's older than you says the same thing. The next verse, or the chorus on that song, says, "Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right." Well, who's the erring? Is it everybody else? Nope, sometimes it's me. This book tells us how to be perfect. It tells us how to do things the right way. And it tells us how other people should be doing it the right way. If we're not doing things by the recipe, we're not going to get the goal. And so our Bibles, think of it, at least for today, as a recipe book. So again, are you stuck on a shelf? Remember that picture I had on there? The boxes on the shelf at the grocery store? Just waiting to become cakes. Are we Christians sometimes waiting to become Christians that God wants us to be? That's all I've got for you today. I hope you appreciate the thoughts. It's a lot of things to think about. But the next time that you see a cake, maybe this will trigger at least some thought in your mind and make you say, "Roger, are you being the right Christian that you're supposed to be? Are you following the recipe, or are you not?" That's the question I ask all of you today. So as we stand and sing the song that's been selected,